I want to talk to you tonight on the thought of healing. And I want to say up front tonight that God don't heal everybody. And we know Job done a lot of suffering. And he, of course, done a lot of talking to the Lord according to his word and what he wrote. And Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12 chapter went to the Lord. He had a thorn and he asked God to move it, but he just told him his grace was sufficient. And there's others that we read of throughout the word of the Lord. Now, I've gone in hospitals and saw little children that never committed a wrong, done a wrong, just come into the world, suffering, tubes all over their little body, and doing great suffering. Pray and pray, didn't seem to be the Lord's will to help them, and went out of the world. And some that I know today that come into the world, come deformed and crippled and haven't been healed. Many a prayer's been prayed for them. And you know, healing is a mystery. So is getting saved is a mystery. I don't understand and never have how that we could just go down before the Lord, lost, all of that load of sin on us, and just repent, come up a new person with all of that load gone, blessings of the Lord upon us. Healing is somewhat in that fashion. I don't understand healing. I've been healed, and I've seen others, prayed with others and seen them healed, and might say I've seen miracles, but yet I don't understand altogether. But I know one thing, we're serving a living God, and we're serving a live God. And I know if you pray and you don't get victory, sometime the devil jump on you and discourage you about it, and maybe try to defeat your faith and tell you you don't have faith and you done something wrong or God don't love you and all of that. But I say throw all of that behind you, because God does love us. And he's doing what's the best for us, whether we healed or not healed. We must always believe in God. Hold on to God's unchanging hand. So in the 8th chapter of Matthew, I take a text here, and in the first verse, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitude followed him, and beheld, there came a leper and worshiped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leper was cleansed. Now, leper is a real contagious disease. It's a bad disease. Exodus or Leviticus tells us about that in the 13th chapter, and how the priests worked with those that were a leper and the house they lived in, and how that it even got into the house and they had to tear it out and carried out to an unclean place. And for Jesus just come down off the mountain and touch him, lay his hand on him and touch him, and that leper was healed. That's a miracle in itself. And seemed like, you know, that people would want to stand back and maybe not push up to the crowd, knowing that that's a leper and it's contagious, and I can get that. But Jesus had great compassion on him. And folks, God is just that way. He has compassion for us. And we must realize God is a compassion God, a good God. And he healed that brother. And so we thank the Lord for that. We know God can do. He can heal. And so he said then, when in the sixth verse, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of palsy, grievous tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak thou the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, he goeth, and to he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I've not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. Now, I don't know how much this man had heard about Jesus, but somewhere there was something that happened to that fellow that gave him great faith in God. Because, he exercised his faith somewhat in line with his authority. His authority was over soldiers. And I can say to that and go, and he go. And I can say to this and come, and he does. And if you, being the Son of God, having the power that you have, if you say to this disease, go, it'll go. I'm not worthy to get have you to come and under my roof because of your authority, the greatness. Undoubtedly, he learned about Jesus, the greatness of God, and he honored and respected that soul that he believed that Jesus, right where he was at, didn't have to come to his house. Just say the word, command it, and it'll be done. And that was great faith, Jesus said. And folks, it takes faith to get healed. It takes faith to get saved, and all of it is on faith, believing in God. You know, if we do everything that God commands of us and pray and do what we feel that God is asking of us and putting that in faith toward God. Brother Will Cry told me, he said, David, if you do everything that God asked you to do and really put it to your faith and have faith in God, he said, if God don't heal you, you sure got him in a close place. And I thought about that a lot of time. You know, we have obligation to believe in God, trust in God, give it up to God. And if you're going to ask God to do something, believe he's going to do it. And hold on to him and trust him. And if he don't do it, say, Lord, thy will be done anyway. And that pleases God because we submit to his will. And I think that pleases God for us to be humble to him and humble to his good will. Thank the Lord for the healing of Jesus and his enablement to heal. In the 13th verse of this chapter, Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so it be done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the same hour. Now that's a mystery, isn't it? That is a mystery. I don't know how far the man had to go back home, what he was in a chariot, or whether he was walking, or what he was doing. But in the same hour that Jesus said, your servant be healed, he was healed. And Jesus don't have to be at your house to heal you. Paul prayed for people, anointed handkerchiefs, anointed aprons, and he sent it unto the people, and they were healed. He's the same God today that he were in that day and time. I'm saying, folks, whether you healed or not, keep having faith in God and in his healing, because he's a healing God as well as a saving God. And we always need to trust God in whatever our conditions are, because God can do beyond all that we're able to think and to ask of him, is he not? And so we need to keep our faith in him. I want then turn over to the 9th chapter and begin in the first verse here. And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of a palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now, he didn't heal him right then. First thing he done was save him, forgive him of his sins. Now, you know God is not going to dwell in an unclean vessel. He wants a clean life. And so they brought this man. The people who brought him had faith that if we can get him to God, God will help him. God will do something for him. So they load him up and they bring him to where the Lord is. He saw the faith of those who brought him, and he forgave the man of his sins. And then he went on, again he spoke to him, and he healed him after he had forgiven him of his sin. He fixed him up, did he not? And so that's our God tonight. Whenever there's something in the soul, any person that want to be healed, need to examine yourself, examine your soul, and see if there's anything that the devil can come at you about and point out to you, and know for sure that you're standing clear between you and God, that there's nothing there. And I know people sometime have done that and still wasn't healed. I suppose Job searched his soul in every way and prayed him many a time, but God didn't take it away. He's allowed the devil able to try him. And sometimes we realize, or we should realize, that we're people that are pointed to afflictions. We're pointed to troubles and trials. God ain't going to always move everything, but he'll give us grace to help us if we'll hold on to God. Yes, he will. He'll be right there for us, and he'll help us through our situation if we'll hold on to God and believe in him, because he's a good God, he loves us, and he cares all about us, does he not? Now, some people say, well, now, look, preacher, healing went out whenever the apostles went out. No, it didn't go out. It's still with the church today. Healing is still real today. And Jesus in Matthew 28 and starting in verse 19, you'll find that Jesus commissioned his disciples to go in all the world and teach the things that he had taught them and to baptize. Name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. In the 10th chapter of Matthew, he sent his disciples out. At that time, he told them not to go in the way of the Gentiles, but go to the lost sheep, the house of Israel. But in going, he said, cleanse the leper, heal. And Jesus gave them power to heal. And he gave his apostles power to pray with people and see them heal, carry on the work of God. You see, Jesus brought this from heaven. Isaiah supported it in the 53rd chapter whenever he was talking about Jesus and his birth and his coming and his crucifixion and all what he went took to the cross and what he done at the cross of Calvary. He took your infirmities and my infirmities to the cross of Calvary. So he knew that we would need healing along the way of life. And so tonight, he is our healer, thank God. And healing is still in the church of God. And so in Acts, the 3rd chapter, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the 9th hour. And a certain lame man from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eye upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise and walk. And he took him by the hand, took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankles, bones received strength. Now, this man, I don't know how many years that he done this, begging money to get some help for himself, maybe for his family. And saints, no doubt, had passed him by before Peter and John got there. But whenever Peter and John came in, there was that which hit them that they should give this to them. Jesus tells us, freely you have received, freely give. Saints of God has got something to give. Do you believe that? We've got something to give. God has given. Remember in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, Jesus gave a gift of healing, did he not? He gave a gift of miracle. Now everybody don't have that gift, but to those who he has given to, he gave it to them to bless others with. Whatever God give us, we've got that to give away and to be a blessing and a help to others as we travel along life's way. This man was lame. He couldn't walk. He is sitting there. But when Peter fastened his eyes on him, said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Rise and walk." And immediately a strength came to his ankle bone, and he got up and he shouted his way all the way down to the temple, because God healed him and loosened him from where he is bound. And thank God tonight he can do the same thing for you and I. Amen. Yes, he can. And so healing wasn't over. And healing ain't over. God still heals, and God's still blessing. Yes, he is. In Mark, the 9th chapter, and the 33rd verse, he has a testimony for us. And all of this is very encouraging to our faith. What we know that he's done for others, it ought to encourage every one of us, shouldn't it? He said in the 16th verse, or the 33rd verse, pardon me, of this chapter, he speaks very boldly to us. He said, "And he came unto Caiaphas, and being in the house, he asked him, what was it that ye disputed about among yourselves by the way? But they held their peace, for by they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest." Now that gets you out of line with God, does it not? You see, we are people. We mustn't feel that there's big I's or big U's in God's church. We're all children of God, and God loves us all. Now, I know maybe some people think, well, you give too much attention to this and too much attention to that. Well, if you got a herd of cattle over here and one of them gets sick, which one you going to pay the most attention to? Them that's well or that that's sick? In your family, if you got a child, you love them all, you love your family, but if one gets sick, you're going to pay more attention to that that's sick than you are the others, right? So Jesus here found something among them that needed to be rebuked. And sometimes we think, well, if it's this preacher, that preacher, I can do this, or I can be healed, or they can do more for my faith than the other. That's not so. The Word of God is what helps us, and it must come from God. We must preach the Word, be encouraged. Every one of us must stand on the authority of God. It's not the preacher that heal you. It's God that does the healing. And we must realize who our case belongs to. It belongs to God. That's how it is. If we get a healing, we have to give it to the Lord, do we not? Now then, to show us that healing carries on in the church, James picks it up in the 5th chapter of the book of James. And he says this to us. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. We all get in afflictions, do we not? They come. We're appointed to them, the Bible said. And Psalms of David, 34th chapter, tells us many be the afflictions of the righteous. But God said, I deliver you out of them all. And so we just need to hold steady. And then if we have a merry heart, we need to admonish ourselves in that merry heart. We need to sing psalms. Did you know that a good old time salvation song will help your infirmities? Amen. I used to work at the stove factory. And when I went into the factory, that dust and everything, and the air was dead, and it was hard in there, but I'd start singing an old song to myself, and after a while, I was feeling a whole lot better. You see, it helped me to sing. And if you don't know nothing else, sing Amazing Grace. About everybody knows that song. And it'll help you, brother. And it'll encourage your faith in the good things of God. Yes, it will. And any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, what does the oil do? Well, God ordained the oil. He told in Exodus the person to make the oil, and he told him what to make it out of, and he told him to give it to the prosecutor, and they mixed it, or he told them to mix it like the apothecary would mix it, or like a pharmacy would mix it up. And so they mixed it, and they anointed the tabernacle, anointed everything, and everything that God had was anointed. And it says, this is God's tabernacle, right? In Hebrew, the 8th chapter, God, he's the minister of the sanctuary and the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. So what God does, he anoints. And then we use the oil, represents anointed king. And when we anoint with it, it means we're set apart to the order that we're calling on the Lord to do. We're calling on him to heal. And so we call on anointed Savior. He's anointed for us. He's our high priest over the house of God. He bears our infirmities. He's a compassion God. And so when you anoint him with oil, he's going to do something for you. If he doesn't heal you, he'll help you, and his grace will be sufficient for you. Because he's a good God. He's a loving God. So healing is still in the church of God. And he said, if they're sick, and the prayer of faith, shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he's committed his sin, they shall be forgiven him. Now, there's twofold blessing here. One, if you feel like there's something wrong, confess your fault. If you feel like there's a sin, you can be forgiven, right? And then God does the healing. Thank the Lord. And prayer of faith, move everything out of the way so the devil's got no room whatsoever to abuse you or to abuse your faith, but that you're putting your trust in God for healing. and believing that God is going to do something, because the way's been clear for God to work and do the healing. And let me say this, when you're sick, sometimes it's hard for seemingly to get a hold of faith, right? I know when I've been real bad sick, it just seemed like my prayer was going nowhere. But you get other people to come in, good brothers that you got faith in, and they lay hands on you and pray for you. See, they can have faith for you, and that we need. We need brothers, sisters to have faith for us whenever we can't have faith for ourselves. In other words, embracing one another in this thing. And that's what James is teaching here for us to do. Believe in God. Give God this. And I know a lot of times I told them when I was pastor, a lot of people send and say, I'm sick. Pray. But they'd never call for the elders of the church. And I preach to them and say, why don't you call for the elders of the church? You know, God's got healing. It's still well. It's still alive. God's still alive. And he set an order for us to go by. Why not follow it? God will touch us and heal us if we will operate the way the Lord said to operate.